To a book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews once again this morning, and we are in chapter 10. You'll notice once again that the title of my message begins with the word better. And as I've been saying, that's because it's the main theme of Hebrews, right? The main theme of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. He's better than the Old Testament, you know, the law of Moses, but he's also better than anything that is offered today, you know, in the menu of different religions and spiritualities. There's nothing better than what Jesus can offer us. Amen. And we've talked about the fact that only one person has died for you. Only one person is qualified to pay a debt of infinite, of an infinite amount, because it was committed against an infinite God. A debt which we humans have incurred. Only one person is qualified to pay that debt, to offer his body, his blood as a sacrifice. One who is infinite himself, who is fully God, and yet who became human for you and for me. That's Jesus Christ. We've been talking about the better sacrifice and the better covenant, the better relationship we have with God. A better covenant which has better promises, promises of eternal life that begin when we die, but not just, or that happen when we die, but they begin right now. The better inheritance which is ours today, the better hope that we have. We have a better high priest who ministers in a better temple. And this morning we're going to talk about a better sanctification. Sanctification. And I am aware of the fact that sanctification is not it's not used too often in our everyday vocabulary. And so we're going to talk about what sanctification is and how we are sanctified through Jesus Christ and what that means for our lives today. So why don't we begin by reading our text, Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 14. And the author has been expounding on the sacrifice of Christ, of course, on the cross, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, and all that sacrifice means, all of the benefits, the wonderful practical benefits for our lives as Christians. And one of those benefits is the sanctification. So let's read verses 10 to 14. It says, "And by that will, that is the will of God to send Jesus, the will of God to put Jesus on the cross, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." There's a lot going on in our text, and I'm not going to expound on the whole text this morning. We already did that a few weeks ago on Wednesday night. If you want to go through the book of Hebrews in depth with us, we meet every Wednesday night to study through verse by verse. But my topic this morning is sanctification. And the author uses the word sanctify two times in our text, once in verse 10 and once in verse 14. And so this morning I'm going to focus on verses 10 and verses 14 and talk about what they teach us about the sanctification that we have in Christ. At this point, you're probably wondering, what in the world is sanctification anyways? The word sanctification in English comes from two Latin words, sanctus, which means holy, and facere, to make. So sanctification literally means to make holy. And when you look at the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, sanctify, it comes from the word holy. When you look at the New Testament, the word sanctify comes from the word holy. And so when we talk about sanctification, very closely related to it is holiness. Because sanctification is the process by which God makes us holy. Now, of course, holiness is a big topic in the Bible, isn't it? Holiness is very important because God is holy. When Isaiah saw God, a vision of God in Isaiah chapter 6, and he saw the angels, what were they crying out? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Fast forward a few hundred years later, John, the Apostle John, receives a vision of heaven, and he sees the throne, light emanating from a throne, and the four living creatures bowing down, and what did they cry? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, and who is to come. God in his very nature is holy. Now, when we say that God is holy, we mean two different things. The first one you probably are aware of. We talk about God's moral perfection, right? When we say that God is holy, that means that he is without sin, that he is perfect, there is no evil, there is no darkness, he is light, there is no sin in God. I think that most of us were aware of that. But the other meaning of holy, did you know that the Hebrew word holy actually means separate? And so when we say that God is holy, we're saying that God is separate. As we sang, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. The word holy, when we say God is holy, we're saying that there is no other God, there is no other being, no other person like God, and therefore no one deserves to be worshipped except for God, Yahweh, the God of the Bible. And so holiness is important because it's part of God's very nature. It's who he is. And the Bible declares that we are holy simply by virtue of the fact that we are God's people. We read a scripture at the beginning of service today. It declares who we are automatically, not something you have to earn, something that maybe you'll earn at the end of your life if you're good enough. No, it's something that you've already become right now today through grace. As a follower of Jesus Christ, this is who you are. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Notice that one of our identities, simply because of the fact that we are God's children, is that we are holy. We're a holy nation. Is that because we're better than other people? Is that because we've earned a status because we've done so many good things throughout our life? No, it's simply because of our identity that we are, as it says, we are God's people. And if we are God's people, if we are his possession and God is holy, then that makes you and me holy. And because we are holy, of course, we are called to live, to be holy in our lives. And Peter says the same thing. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are holy already by virtue of the fact that we belong to God, that God bought us, that we are his people, and he is holy, therefore we share in his holiness. And because we are holy, we are called to live holy lives in this world. And that's what our text says. If you look back at our text in Hebrews 10, 10 and 14, notice here that verse 10 speaks of the past, speaks of the fact that we have been sanctified, whereas verse 14 speaks of the fact that we are being sanctified. So look at Hebrews 10:10. It says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Notice in verse 10 that the word sanctify is in the past tense. We have been sanctified. Actually, technically, it's in the present perfect tense. Don't want to get too linguistic on you. But the perfect tense is a past action which has implications in the present, which means in the past we were sanctified, and that past sanctification has, of course, powerful implications for our lives right now, today. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. That's what 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says. We were sanctified on the day that you were saved, on the day that you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You became God's special possession. You became one of God's people. And because God is holy and you are his people, you are automatically sanctified. You were automatically made holy simply by virtue of your position in Christ. The theological term is positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. Notice verse 14. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Notice here that it's in the present active tense, or the present continuous tense. We are being sanctified. So is the Bible contradicting itself here? Have we been sanctified, or are we being sanctified? Which is it? Yes, right? Have we been, or are we being? Yes, we are both. We have already been sanctified once for all in Christ. Positionally, because we are God's children, we are in him once for all. He sees us as righteous. He sees us as holy. He sees us as perfect. But right now, in the present, because we have been sanctified, we are being sanctified. You know, many of you know my story. When I graduated from high school, I went to Bible college. And what do you think we studied in Bible college? The Bible. Yeah, go figure, right? And one of the classes that I took in Bible college was Hebrews. So I had the privilege of spending a whole semester just reading this book, as we've been doing, studying the book of Hebrews. And I learned a lot of, you know, great truths. But there's one day in class that I remember in particular. And it was the day that we studied this passage, the same passage that we're talking about this morning. And as my teacher, as my professor was expounding on this passage, I had this like epiphany. Has it ever happened to you where you're studying the Bible and it's like God just shows up. God just speaks to you. And it's just a powerful experience. And I had a very powerful experience. It's one of the most powerful experiences in all of Bible college. I hardly remember a class in Bible college like I remember that day. But it was in the middle of that class, as we were studying this passage, that God showed me the way he sees me. He doesn't see me as a sinner striving to be a saint. He sees me as his son. God doesn't see my sin. God sees me in Christ. I have been sanctified. And my prayer is that today that you would experience that you would know that truth. I pray that God would use this message to brand that truth in your heart the way that it impacted me on that day. Because for the first time, I saw the way that God saw me. God sees me as holy. God sees me as perfect. God sees me as righteous. Is it because I am a perfect person? No, I'm definitely not. Is it because I'm better than other people? No, definitely not. But it's through his Son. You know, Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 1:2, when he addresses the letter to the Christians in Corinth. He says, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Notice that the word sanctified here is in the past tense. You have been sanctified. How? Through your good works? Because you're better than other people? No, you're sanctified in who? In Christ. That's why we call it positional sanctification. You see, when you place your faith in Christ, you get a new identity. You get a new position. You're no longer John or Jane or Susan. You're John in Christ. You're Jane in Christ. You're Susan in Christ. And God sees you through his Son, through the blood of Christ. And in Christ you are sanctified. In Christ you are perfected. In Christ you are holy. You know, in the Old Testament, the notion of sanctification, as I said, was one of separation. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, it wasn't just people who were sanctified, people like priests, but things, and specifically the temple. Instruments in the temple were sanctified. And what that means is that they were set apart. As I said, the word sanctification means separate. You see, when they made an altar for the temple, it was not to be used for everyday use. The priests were not allowed to go and have a barbecue, take the altar and have a barbecue with their friends. When they made curtains for the tabernacle, the people weren't to go and take those curtains and bring them home and decorate their homes with those curtains. Why? Because they were holy. Because they were sanctified. That means they were separated. They were separated from common use, and they were dedicated to be used exclusively to worship God, to serve God. Is that not a great picture for your life and for mine? The fact that we have been sanctified means that we've been separated from this world and we've been dedicated to worship God. We are made, created to worship Him. We are made to serve and to minister for God. That is the new purpose of our lives. That's what it means that we are sanctified. We've already been sanctified. So now, because we have been sanctified, let us live sanctified lives. Let us live in order to please God, in order to worship God. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Paul says, you don't belong to yourself. And I know that this message is contrary to what our society tells you, right? That I am me and no one can tell me who I am or what I can do or cannot do. I can be whoever I want to be. Well, the Bible says that you're not your own. You were bought with a price. If you are a Christian, you've been redeemed, which means literally you've been bought from slavery. God has paid for you with His own blood. And Paul says that if you are not your own, if your life is God's, then glorify God in your body. Live for Him. If you have been sanctified, if you've been set apart, separated from this world, and you have been dedicated, your life now has been dedicated to God, then glorify God. Then live your whole life as an act of worship, as an act of ministry, an act of service to God. In our text, in Hebrews 10:10, notice how we have been sanctified. We said it's positionally in Christ, but notice that here in verse 10, it says we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's through the sacrifice of Christ, through the offering of Christ, through His death on the cross that you and I have been sanctified in Him. Now, what does that mean? Well, again, I talked about the instruments in the tabernacle, in the temple, and how that they were separated from everyday use and dedicated to be used exclusively to worship God. And there's another picture from the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament is full of pictures, isn't it? Some people think of the Old Testament as this weird, outdated book or set of books. But the Old Testament has so many amazing pictures of deep, powerful truths. So often, when I want to understand something in the New Testament, I look back to the Old Testament and I find a powerful picture, something from the Old Testament that illustrates powerfully a truth for me, in order for me to more deeply understand it. And it's the case here with the sacrifice of Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, have you ever read in the book of Leviticus, where they have all these really weird clean and unclean laws? Anybody ever read, Leviticus chapter 11, where it's like, don't eat this and don't eat that. It's unclean. And well, you can eat this, but don't eat that. And that's clean and unclean. And there's all these laws about clean and unclean. And scholars have gone back and forth as to what is behind this. Some people believe it's hygiene. You know, you got 2 million people in the middle of a wilderness. If a plague breaks out, they're all dead, right? Well, that makes sense for part of the laws, but not all of them. Others say the purpose of these clean and unclean laws is simply to distinguish, to differentiate Israel from the other nations around them. I don't really know what the purpose is behind all of these laws, but we know that ultimately, clean means the ability, the opportunity, the privilege to be able to worship God. If you are clean in the Old Testament in a ritual sense, that means you are able to enter into God's presence and to worship Him. If you're unclean, you're not allowed to enter into the sanctuary. Now, why in the world am I talking about clean and unclean? Well, if you go back to the law, to the laws about the ritual of some person who was unclean, who is now becoming clean, for example, a leper. And leprosy, by the way, is a great picture of sin. You know, the way it spreads, the way that it numbs your body so you can't feel, the way that when we choose to live in sin, how it numbs our conscience so that we don't even feel the pricks of the Holy Spirit anymore. And it starts in one area of our life that we allow, and it spreads throughout our whole body and kills us. Leprosy is a great picture of sin, powerful picture of sin. But you see, the cleansing of a leper in the Old Testament, remember when Jesus healed a leper? And when he healed him, what did he say? Go straight to the priests and offer what Moses commanded you. And when you go back in the Old Testament and you read it, what's interesting is that there's two parts to that ceremony. And I'm not going to go through it all, but there's two parts to that ceremony of an unclean person becoming clean. There's blood and there's water. That person was to offer a sacrifice for their sins, offer blood, and then they were to be cleansed by water. Now do you see how that's a picture for our lives today? How have we been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ through blood and water? What is the blood that cleanses us? It's Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. Did you know that the book of Hebrews speaks more of blood than any other book in the New Testament? For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The better sanctification that we receive in this better covenant is that we have been cleansed, we have been purified, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the blood of the eternal Son of God, who doesn't just purify, who doesn't just sanctify us, cleanse us outwardly in a ceremonial sense, but the blood of Christ cleanses us, purifies us inwardly, completely, inside and out. And secondly, as I said, the ritual in the Old Testament for an unclean person to become clean involved water. They were to take a ritual bath. Now, in the New Testament, is there a ritual bath for us as Christians to take when we become saved? What is it? Baptism, right? Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Christ, the first step you should take as a step of obedience is to be baptized. And baptism is the New Testament ritual bath, isn't it? But baptism itself is not what cleanses us from sin. Who cleanses us from sin? Jesus Christ. And oftentimes in the Bible, when it talks about sanctification, when it talks about our salvation, it speaks in terms of a washing. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. We have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been washed. We've been cleansed of our sins. And because of the blood of Christ, because of the water of his cleansing, we are now clean. We are now sanctified. We are now able, worthy to enter into his presence, not because of what we have done, not because we're better than other people, but simply because of the blood of Christ, which washes us and makes us clean to approach, to enter into God's presence. And notice in verse 14, the emphasis here is not on the fact that we have been sanctified, but on what we call progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification speaks of our actual progress in sanctification. It speaks of our actual life, the things we think, the things that we speak, the things that we do. On the one hand, in Christ, we are sanctified once for all. We are perfect in God's eyes. But as you all know, we're not perfect in everyday life, are we? And the goal of our lives as Christians is more and more to walk in, to experience the sanctification that we received upon salvation, to know it, to experience that holiness, to experience that power over sin. As it says, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. On the one hand, you've been perfected once for all. You are sanctified. You are clean. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You're perfect in God's eyes. Now that you have been perfected, now that you have been sanctified, let us be sanctified. Let us experience more and more. Walk in the holiness that God has given to us. And just as, you know, the basis for our positional sanctification is also the basis for our practical, our progressive sanctification. Because we have been called holy, we are to now be holy. Because we have been separated from this world, we are to now live separate lives. Because we have been washed by his blood, we are now to allow God to wash us continually. Look at 2 Corinthians. It's a bit of a lengthier passage, but 2 Corinthians 6 says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. The practical application of the fact that we have been sanctified is that now in our daily life, let us be sanctified. Since God has separated us from this world, let us live separate. Let us be different than other people around us. Since we have been cleansed from sin, let us cleanse ourselves by confessing our sins, by drawing close to God, cleansing ourselves of everything that would defile us, bringing holiness to completion. You know, I love what Paul says about sanctification in his instructions to husbands. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. We've already said that we've been cleansed, we've been washed by the blood of Christ. We've been washed, the ritual bath, the spiritual cleansing by the blood of Christ. And yet, I don't know about you, but I need to bathe on a daily basis. By the end of the day, I stink. I need to get back into that bathtub. I need to get back into that shower. And in Christ, I have been washed once and for all. There's no more fear of condemnation. There's no more fear of hell. I've been saved. I've been washed. And yet, as Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you don't need me to wash your hands and feet because you've been cleansed. You don't need me to wash your head, your whole body, but you need me to wash your feet. You know, each and every day when we walk in this world, our feet get dirty. And we've got to go back to Jesus and have him cleanse us. That's what Jesus does. It says here of in verse 26 of his sanctification, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. The practical washing in our daily lives as Christians takes place through the Word of God. Yes, a number of months or years ago, I gave my life to Christ and I was saved, I was sanctified, I was perfected, praise the Lord, I was cleansed. But as a Christian in this world, my feet get dirty and I need God to cleanse me on a daily basis. And the only way he can do that is as I allow his Word to come into my heart. You know, Jesus said in John 17:17, God, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As we immerse ourselves in the truth of God's word, the word of God cleanses our minds, cleanses our hearts. And as we confess our sins to the Lord on a daily basis, he washes us so that we can be clean. And so, church, the message today is that we have been sanctified. We've been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, we have been washed once for all. And yet, on a daily basis, our feet get dirty living in this world. And because we have been separated from this world, let us live separate. Because we have been dedicated to the worship of God, let's dedicate our lives each and every day to live for Him. Because we have been cleansed from sin, let's come to the Lord Jesus and allow His word to wash over us, to cleanse our minds and our hearts, so that we can be forgiven of our sins. You know, I talked at the beginning of this message about my Bible college experience, where my teacher was going through Hebrews and he was expounding on this passage, and the Lord opened it up for me. He used this passage to show me that He sees me in His sight as righteous and as perfect. And as I was thinking about it this week, you know, I was thinking about my son. I mean, you guys got to see Nathaniel on the stage, and I don't have as much free time to read or to sleep as I usually do with my son. But you know, I get to do something much better with my time. I get to spend a lot of time just holding my son. And life slows down when you have kids, doesn't it? You know, there's not much you can do with a newborn baby in your arms, right? You got to just focus on him. They're very needy. And so often as I'm sitting there, I just look at him and I just think, you know, he's perfect. I look at his eyes, look at his nose, look at his lips. I think he's perfect. And it's not because of anything that he has done, right? He can't do anything to make me love him. It's just him. He's my boy. He's my child. I see him as perfect in my eyes. And, you know, Nathan pukes a lot. You know, just like every baby, you know, he pukes on my clothes. He pukes on our couch. Our couch was a little dirty, but now our couch is really dirty. Just all these puke stains all over the... But I still love him. Even though he pukes, I just clean him up. My son poops, imagine that. And his poop stinks. The pastor's son's poop stinks. You know, last night I changed his diaper. And he pooped through his clothes, and I had to try to get his clothes off without getting poop all over his head, because his whole backside was full of poop and just poop everywhere. It's kind of gross, you know. But I still love him. You know, and I just think to myself that that's a perfect picture of my relationship with God, because I'm his boy. And when he looks down at me, I'm perfect in his sight. It's not because of anything I've done or I haven't done. You know, I puke a lot. I say a lot of things that, no, I don't puke that much in real life, thank God. But I say things, I puke verbally, okay? And the things I think, the things that come out of my head, the things that come out of my mouth, oftentimes it's just... it's gross. It's sinful to God. In a certain sense, I wet myself. I do things, just as Nathan poops through his clothes, you know, I do things that to God, they stink. It's gross. He doesn't like it. But, you know, he cleans me up, and he still loves me. Not because I'm a great person, not because I'm better than other people, but because I'm his son. I'm righteous in his sight. And you know, that more than anything else motivates me, because he has adopted me as his son and he loves me in his sight. I'm perfect. That motivates me more than anything else to live for him in this world. Amen. If he loves me, if he sees me as righteous and as holy, my purpose in this world is to please my Father, is to live out of thankfulness for what he has done for me, to represent him well as the son, as an adopted son of God in his family. So let's pray this morning. Father God, we thank you for this better sanctification that we have in you, Lord. And God, I don't know if I've expounded this text as well as my Bible college teacher did so many years ago, but really it doesn't matter, because, Lord, it's about you. It's about your Spirit. I pray for everyone in here. I pray that we would see ourselves through your eyes, not through the world's eyes. You know, religion tells us we have to keep doing and doing and doing and doing more and hopefully will be accepted by you. And what's interesting is that this world says the same thing, that we have to make ourselves and we have to become something different and more creative and better. We have to make ourselves into something. But you're different, God. You say, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter. In Christ Jesus, you've been washed by the blood of my son. You've been cleansed from every sin. And I love you, and you are perfect, and you are righteous in my sight. Lord, I pray, if there's anyone in here who has not understood that, who has not received that, Lord, that we would receive that because it's true. And that truth has the power over lies in our lives to break free from the sin that holds us. And if you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not every single human being who has been sanctified, but we are sanctified in Christ. And there's only one way to be sanctified in Christ, to be saved. It's through faith in Him. Place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His death, in His blood, in His life, which was given to you, in Him, the one who was fully God, who became flesh for you, who died on the cross for you. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be cleansed. You'll be washed. If you haven't taken that step yet, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to Him. Lord God, we thank You that we are Yours by the blood of Christ, that we have been made clean and therefore worthy to enter into Your presence. I pray, Lord, because You have separated us from this world, that we would live separate, that we would be different. I pray that because we've been dedicated to living for You, to worship You and serve You, God, that we would every day surrender ourselves, dedicate ourselves to living for You, God. Lord, I pray not out of fear and guilt and shame, but out of love and out of a heart of thankfulness for what You've done for us, Lord, that each and every day, because You look down on us as a father upon his son, and You say, You're perfect in my sight. Lord, that we would live for Your pleasure, for Your glory, for Your honor in this world. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.